What is creativity? How does it operate? What are its parameters? What does it mean to be creative? In this series, WROELP explores the creative processes of people in different realms of life to see for ourselves.
This is Heather Rhodes with WROELP, Radio Free Roanoke, continuing our series on the creative process. Joining us today is Kate Zambrano, a visual artist, to expound on her creative process. Hi, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Me too. Well, first off, can our listeners get a little background about yourself?
I am a self-taught artist. I specialize in portraiture mostly. I live in California and I have been a professional artist for a little over 10 years, maybe 11 years at this point.
So you make your money selling your artwork?
Yes, I sell my originals. I offer classes. I do private lessons. I teach workshop. Just all kinds of stuff, commissions. Anything art related, I'm down for.
Awesome. So, what kind of classes are you into? I mean, do you teach about acrylics?
I don't usually work in acrylic. No, I will prime my panels with acrylic, but usually I'm working in charcoal and pastel or oil paint.
Okay, oil paint. That's a whole new ball game.
It's very different, but super fun. It's actually a lot easier than people might think, because you can just, if you mess it up, you just wipe it off. It doesn't dry that much.
Cool. So, I started off in oils, but I went to acrylics, and I'm trying to work with that medium.
It's so different. It's like the most different things from each other, acrylic and oil.
It really is. It's super hard.
It's very hard. You have like a time limit.
Not as hard as watercolor, though. That's the hardest.
Watercolor is difficult. It's very temperamental. It's like, this is where I'm staying forever and you can never remove me.
Pretty much. So how do you express yourself creatively?
I think just being able to make art as something that I do every single day, it allows me to express any sort of creativity that I might have pent up. And also, since having started trying to teach myself how to draw and paint, it has also allowed for a lot of psychological growth, like it's such a solitary thing that we do as artists. And if you're not like okay in your brain, it will show, and you'll just eventually, you know, become really depressed or go a little crazy. But it helps a lot with mental growth and I guess mental creativity as well.
Right. It is very therapeutic, I found. Especially
super stressful, but therapeutic at the same time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, if you're a perfectionist, it can be super stressful. But you do have to evaluate your work critically.
Of course, yes, or else you're not growing.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us about your current work?
Currently, I mean, I've been working on portraiture for the majority of those 10 or 11 years, and somewhat recently have been, I moved out into the mountains in California, so I'm around all this beautiful wildlife and nature, and so some of my work is tending to go more towards like animal portraits and scenes of, you know, more just natural settings instead of a studio lit model type of vibe. And I have a show with three other people coming up in June in Los Angeles, and it's a dark western themed, so it's gonna be a lot of like, I have a big drawing that I did with a bunch of vultures, and I'm going to turn that into a painting, and then I have some wolf reference. And
I love wolves
too. They're so magical.
Yeah, and birds. I love birds.
Me too. They're like crazy little aliens. I love them.
Yeah, they're so smart too. They have a frontal cortex.
Yes, they're so smart.
Yeah. And they can fly. I mean, who wants to? I mean, like, that's so cool.
Yeah, like, just that alone is like, oh my God, birds.
Totally. But they do eat worms and insects. That's kind of weird.
but good for the environment.
Absolutely. Definitely. I know. People, keep your cats in because that's totally killing the birds, decimating them.
Apex predators, those guys.
Definitely. They're cute, though. Love cats.
That's cute, but little psycho murderers.
True. Or put a bell on them. But so why did you choose this medium for expressing your creativity?
I mostly work in charcoal. I like charcoal so much. I love the drama. I love the depth. I love working in dry medium because you never have to clean your brushes if you're using brushes. Like, I've always loved charcoal. I like a monochromatic type of feel, but I love oil paint too. And those are my two favorites. First of all would be charcoal. Second of all, oil. I like the depth that you get in both and the drama that you can get in both.
Well, do you work in different colors of charcoal or just black and white?
Usually just black and white and charcoal, but I'll add colored pastel.
Ooh, nice.
In a subtle way, like some subtle, like there's a vulture thing over there. And so they have.
Oh, that's nice.
Some red on their faces. And then everything else is very like muted. So I like just like either a monochromatic feel or just a couple of pops of color.
Right. That looked really like a Chinese kind of rendering. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Like a watercolor. Yeah.
Exactly what I was going for.
Really?
Thank you so much, Heather. Yes.
Well, you kind of nailed it.
Perfect. I'm so glad we talked today.
Awesome. So how do you make the leap from the idea in your head to the art you produce?
Sometimes I have a well-structured idea, like the vulture piece that I've mentioned and I just showed you. Like that came to me at like 1:30 in the morning. I'm falling asleep and I was like, oh, I should do like a line of vultures in a tree. And I, you know, typed it on my phone and then I fell asleep. And then I was like, okay, well, I want to do this huge. So I got the roll of paper. I did all the stuff. I planned it. Then I, you know, measured it out and, you know, started going into it. And then sometimes I'm just like, well, I want to have fun. So I'll just start working with no objective in mind. I think it just depends on like the mood that I'm in on that day. It totally varies, but I try to always just listen to whatever my mind is wanting to do. Like sometimes you want to have just like creative freedom and do whatever you want and just experiment. And sometimes like I need more structure, but it is like a little tricky because not every piece is the same way, you know?
Yes. And I do have a question regarding that. Like, is there a difference? Can you tell the difference between those which came organically and those that were structured?
I think that the piece almost lends to like whatever process, but you would never be able to tell in the end. I just am like, I'll wake up and just think, okay, I want to do some watercolor today. Or like today I want to paint. Like 2 days ago, I wanted to just paint. And so I primed a panel and then just picked out, I had taken some reference of my little brother and I decided, okay, I'm going to just do it. Like no better time than the present.
Yeah.
So I really just, I don't know. I just try to go with it and not, oh, well, maybe I should plan more or maybe I should, you know, just have more fun. It's just, I don't know. After doing it for a long time.
Exactly. I was going to say you have to reach an expert state to do that.
Right. Right. Like I'm not, this isn't meant to sound at all arrogant, but if you do something enough times, you don't have to work as hard as you did at the beginning. Like I started out not knowing anything. Like I was super not great. So that's why whenever I teach classes, I'm like, seriously, guys, if I can do this, like anybody can do this. You just have to be obsessive.
Right.
So I think that obsession in the beginning led to now I have more ideas. Before I was just trying to make the thing look like the thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's like I'm allowed to be more creative and expressive because I've already like put those building blocks
into place. Yeah, right, exactly. Cool. Well, can you see the finished product before you start or does it unfold as you do it?
I think mostly it unfolds as I'm doing it. Like I always have an idea, but it always changes too. Cause I'm like, oh, what if I did this? Or what if I add this texture? Or, you know, I try to allow for a lot of creative freedom and expression because I'm not a hyper realist. So I'm not trying to copy every single thing exactly. I want to get a likeness and then I want to have some fun and make some texture. So
right.
I think that I usually let it kind of evolve.
What do you mean make some texture?
like, you know, it, like a brush stroke or just a pencil mark instead of everything very blended, or like the stump of the charcoal, like that kind of texture, just different things to remind the viewer this is a piece of art. It's not a photo. And this is like what I want to say as an artist.
Right. Well, what do you want to say as an artist?
That always changes. There's no like, there's no thing that I want to say. And also like what I'm trying to say might not be what the viewer is.
Interprets.
Yeah, exactly. What the viewer is interpreting and internalizing. However, like I don't need my voice to be loud and echoey. I'm just trying to say stuff for myself. I want to make art that I want to make because I want to make it. And it might be because like, oh, I really like, I deep dove into some vulture information and then I just decided to make some vultures, or, you know, like, you don't,
you don't try to see like the improct and like the viewer in mind.
No.
Oh, okay. But it still sells.
Yeah, they'll still sell because like everybody's going to interpret something differently and everyone's going to put themselves in your art and see whatever they're going to see. So I don't want to sell my story. Like, I don't want to be a brand in that way. I'm just trying to make art. And if it sells, then it sells. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. So like, that's just for myself. I have to always make art for me.
Right. It's very therapeutic.
Truly. And it does, like, it is cathartic too, at the same way where you just can kind of work things out and you might not even know that you're working them out. So because I make a lot of art for myself, I also, you know, offer commissions so that someone else's vision, this is my wife or kid or dog or whoever. And then, you know, some of those can be meticulously organized by the client, and most of them like allow for creative freedom, but not to say that I only think of myself for art. Like, I do like collaborating with people, and I have done some illustrations for some companies and things like that. So it is a give and take, but if you do too many commissions, then you lose your voice a little bit, and then you're like, I need to just make something for myself. And then if you make too much for yourself, then maybe it doesn't all sell, kind of thing.
Right. I see that. So what's a real life situation that inspired you?
This might seem like a cop out, but I'm just endlessly inspired. So my brain is always pumping out ideas because I just surround myself with people who are inspiring, or visualizations that are inspiring, or other art or whatever. So I feel like my whole life has just been like one big culmination of experiences to lead me to this. So I don't know if I have anything specifically in mind that led me to make something. It's just like, it's constantly churning.
Right. Well, who do you like to look at?
There's three or four books that I usually rotate, art books. And if I'm feeling in like a creative slump, or if I really need some like juice, you know, some inspiration juice, I'll look at J.C. Leyendecker, illustrator who did the Saturday Evening Post. He was Rockwell's teacher. And then Alphonse Mucha, of course, the most brilliant mind ever. Gustav Klimt, I especially love his early works.
But I don't know the other guy. Who's the other guy?
Mucha?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you looked him up, you would totally know. He's one of the, he did like Art Deco, Art Nouveau. Like, he basically like invented that whole, all of those posters. You would totally know.
Okay.
And then I have this book that I got of Disney layouts and backgrounds. So it's like from, you know, the, whenever Disney started, like all their layouts and how they do the backgrounds.
Like Snow White and Bambi.
Snow White's in there. Bambi's in there. Every single thing. Like even the old early like 30s stuff or 20s stuff. And that is so, so, so inspiring.
Really?
So cool. I will rotate those all the time, especially if I'm in like a lull, you know?
Cool. Interesting. Well, do you have to be in a certain mood in order to create?
I think so. I do. Like if I'm super depressed or, you know, like I don't feel good, I'm not going to make anything that's really that great. So I won't push it. I know that there's one of those, I don't know, it's just people know that like, oh, brooding artists, like, oh, they're so depressed and they're just in their painting. But like, yes. If I'm depressed, I'm not painting. Like, I'm not doing anything. I'm self-caring.
Yeah.
Like, I have to be in a good headspace, and I have to I don't know. I also like know that it's going to be in like a roller coaster, like a cycle. So I know that I'm going to lose inspiration. I'm going to kind of like dip down and I give myself the day. And by the end of the day, I usually have another idea and then I'm on the upswing. So it's just like, I know that it's going to happen.
Ooh, you give yourself grace.
Yes, yes. Like, you know, you get older and you're like, I got to have a mental health day. Like everybody has to take care of themselves. So definitely.
Older, like, you look like 25.
Oh, I'll be 38 in April.
Okay, well, I'm 43.
Oh, we're so close.
Kind of.
Yeah, like definitely, like you said, like I have to give myself some grace. And there's, I think that comes with like just being alive for, you know, however many years. You're like, okay, well, the other thing wasn't working for me. So I'm going to just allow myself to feel.
Yeah, be an artist and just like perceive and take in.
Right, exactly. It's like our brains also need to rest. Like 20% of our energy every day is going towards just fueling our brain. Mm-hmm. So if you're running on all cylinders nonstop, that's going to burn out and your brain's going to be like, excuse me, I just need to take a break for a little bit.
That is so true. You got to listen to your body.
You have to. Like we have this like hustle culture where it's like we have to output 100% all the time and we have to post all this stuff all the time and it's just not sustainable. And everyone's burned out of that. And I just feel like I wish more people would just be real about it and talk about it. Like, hey, take care of you, first of all.
Yeah, you got to take care of yourself first.
You have to, because you can't do anything else if you're not taking care of yourself.
That's true. Yeah, I had to come to that realization too.
Yeah, no, those moments never just happen whenever you're like super happy. Like you have to go through to see that. But like once you do, you're like, God, I really should have been doing this for so long.
Yeah, but it takes we're human beings and we're crisis motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we won't get out of our complacency unless something like rattles us or something.
It's true. Nothing happens just because you're just eating popcorn one day and relaxing. And, like it has to come from a pivotal point.
Like a struggle or something.
Always. Unfortunately, but like, I don't know. It's like once you know other people are going through that, for me, that makes it a lot better. Mm. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's not just my weirdo brain. Like everyone feeling this.
Yeah. Truly. Well, does your work challenge any assumptions or conventions?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I'm not sure. Since I was self-taught, I'm kind of in this other realm of like, you know, there's people that went to art school and all these people that have all these camaraderies and little cliques and stuff in the art world. And I'm always on the outside of that. But I think that the only thing that I would do that was challenging, I just kind of work oppositely as like academia. Like I go for the highlights first instead of going.
Oh, no kidding. You do?
Yeah. So I'll work on toned paper. So it'll be like, you know, a neutral gray or a dark gray or a black paper. And then I'll just work in the highlights first because that's a way of drawing without drawing. And I'll do it with brushes. So it's very like ghostly at first and you build up.
Gestalt? Do you know what that is? Mm-mm. It's a theory that said the sum is greater than the whole of the parts. Mm-hmm. It means like you can hear a melody and recognize it, but it's not the individual notes, it's the melody.
Yes, yes, exactly that. Like, mm-hmm. It's like you've built this thing without deconstructing it. It's like, okay, here's the forehead, here's the cheeks, here's the eyes. And then you erase out the drawing, quote unquote. And then it's so much less pressure for myself because like as being self-taught, I didn't want to just put charcoal, like black charcoal on the paper. Like that's intimidating. Like mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. So I would just build up the light layers. But I think that that would be the only thing that I do that would be like challenging. I don't know, but I don't see my work objectively, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not. But that is really interesting about that technique.
Yeah, it's definitely different. And I feel that most, like, I'm not trying, whenever I teach workshops and teach classes and things, like, I'm not trying to, like, teach you more as I'm trying to just show you these, like, hacks. Mm-hmm. Like, I figured this out on my couch using Q-tips, or like I started using a brush. So then that made a whole new hack, or those little triangular makeup sponges. These are just things I had lying around my house. So I would use those. And it ended up being this, it felt like a life hack because it simplified everything. And like you said, it was just like the whole part instead of everything, like every little piece, it was like drawing itself mostly.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, what does your typical day look like?
typical day, wake up, spend time with my dogs, kind of like wake up slowly, get my emails organized. Sometimes I'll start out with like some chores so I can really have my brain come online enough, and then sit down to paint or draw, maybe prep stuff for the next day. And then if I have to do like a lot of business stuff, then I won't do art that day, and I'll just, you know, have computer work, meetings, that kind of thing. And then, you know, just like Patreon sort of work, like just tutorials and the like of that.
Cool. Yeah, sounds like every day is a little different.
It is a little different. I like a semi-routine. I don't want like a routine, like a structured thing. Like I kind of rebel against anything too structured because I feel really trapped.
Yeah.
Anything that's like reminiscent of a structure, like, okay, I usually eat around this time, or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. But mostly every day is a little bit different, and that keeps my brain active as well.
Nice. Well, is risk taking a part of your creativity?
I think it has to be. I think if you're not taking risks and pushing yourself, then you've kind of become complacent, like we were talking about before. Like, and I feel that for myself, just complacency would be the death of me. Like I said just a second, like I don't like being trapped and I don't want to be like in a box. So I think that I'm always trying to challenge myself, whether it's subtle, like, okay, I'm going to implement Conti pencils instead of charcoal, or I'm going to use oil paint now instead of charcoal.
What's a Conti pencil?
It's like a French, I want to say it's like a chalk. It's got a really nice texture, but it's a pencil. It's like a dry medium, but they make these beautiful colors. So sometimes I'll just use those instead of charcoal, or like I'm going to use a different surface, something like that. Or now, like I was speaking about before, challenging myself as far as making animal portraits and like whole scenes in like nighttime. And so that's a whole new realm. I've never done a landscape painting in my life.
Oh, really?
So here we go. We're starting. We're doing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's,
I'm just, you know,
how
you get
learn.
Bored and you're like, let's go.
Yeah, you gotta learn new things.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. It'll be fine. Like, what's the worst that can happen? I have to paint it again. Like, that's it.
Yeah, tragic. Well, who is your greatest influence?
Greatest influence? I honestly have no idea. I don't have like anybody that I idolize as much as like, this is my number one pinnacle. Like I said before, like I'm inspired by everything. I'm watching films. I'm listening to music. I'm audiobooks. I'm reading all day. Like I read all the time.
Ooh, what do you like to read?
I'll read anything truly.
Okay, what are you reading?
Right now I'm reading two books. Like I'll have like a tangible book during the day, and then I have a book at night to read like on my phone before I fall asleep. So I'm reading, there's this artist that I really fell in love with. Her name's N.K. Jemisin. Mm-hmm. And she wrote this trilogy called the Broken Earth Trilogy, which I was like, I've never read anything like this. And so I'm reading another book that she did, 100,000 Kingdoms. That's my nighttime book that I'm almost done with. And then during the day, I'm kind of in the middle of these V.E. Schwab books. And she's really great. And it's like a younger type of like young adult.
Oh yeah, I read that when I was in middle school or something.
Yeah, like it's easy to read and it's no pressure. Like I finished up The Historian, which I love so much. And so that was so verbose and descriptive that it's nice to just kind of have like a cute, she's, V.E. Schwab is not just like a cute writer. She's a brilliant writer, but it's nice.
Oh yeah, just because I love juvenile literature sometimes. I mean, like The Giver classic.
Just Harry Potter in general.
Never a Harry Potter fan.
I love Harry Potter. I love, like, because I just grew up with it. So it was just so easy for me. So that, and then, you know, like Lord of the Rings and any type of fantasy, I'm totally down with fantasy.
Awesome. That's like my sister. I was more into like literature and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I love a fiction.
Yeah, but I read her books too. Like, mm-hmm. Have you read Poppy Z. Bright or like, Christopher Moore?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should read Christopher Moore. He's really funny.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm always looking for suggestions and anything new that I can gobble up. I read all the time.
Oh, yeah. So how has your artistic expressions changed over time?
Well, that's a good question. At first, I was really just trying. Okay, when I first started, before I even actually started, my objective was to make monsters. I really wanted to make like creepy, monstery, dark stuff. then I realized, like, I have no basis in reality. Like, I've never done realism, so I can't invent realistic creatures out of my mind, if that makes sense. I was only able to copy. So then I started just trying to find a likeness, make this thing look like that thing. And then once I had come from modeling, I had quit modeling to start doing art. And so all the inspiration that I was pulling from was like fashion magazines and my, you know, like my friends doing their editorials or whatever. So I was starting with that. And so I was trying to make the likeness. So I'm like, oh, well, I know her, so I know what she looks like, so I know what's wrong with this. Then over time, I started taking my own reference and using my friends for models. And then it just became, I was able to make a surrealistic aspect and make it a little creepy while still using, like, you know, my beautiful friends or beautiful models or whatever. And then it became, I don't need it to be like, quote unquote, beautiful, like a standard beauty. There's so much, like, so much uniqueness from a non, like, a non-specific beauty, if that makes sense. Like, I love a big nose. I love a big nose.
Really?
Go on a tangent about how I love drawing and painting big noses. If you have a big nose, hit me up. But,
okay, that's my ex. We won't go there. Like,
we don't have to open that can.
No, we don't.
We'll just close that back up.
Okay.
But then, you know, just it still evolves. So the more I wanted to chase that next thing, that next goal, I was already somewhere else. So now, like, now I'm, you know, about to do some landscapes and stuff, which is just totally weird and bizarre. But I think that the more I listen to myself and keep going, the easier it is to stay inspired, I guess.
So are you going to draw these landscapes or are you going to paint them?
They're going to all be paintings. Yeah.
Okay. And oil?
Yeah, most probably all oil, actually. I was hoping to do some sculptures, but I don't think I'll have the time because we've all been we've known about this show for over a year and none of us have started it. Artists.
Truly, you guys. Me included.
Just like sometimes just that procrastination, you really, I know that I'll do better work if I wait.
Well, I need kind of like the fire on my feet sometimes.
It's true. Like I have to feel the pressure to, like, I don't know. I don't want to say that, like, I'm not going to make as good of work, but like you said, like, I need that little fire to, like, have that fuel of, like, ooh, that urgency.
And also it takes a while to culminate, you know, you gotta develop the idea.
You have to develop the idea. You have to, like, sit on it just to make sure it's, like, an okay idea. Like, I made a list a year ago of all the ideas that I wanted, and the only things I've scrapped have been the sculptures, but I feel pretty solid. I just, you know, the next step is doing it.
Come on, which, Kate, you can do it.
I have to. I'm actually going to pick up my panels next week, so it's happening.
Awesome.
I might find some today, actually.
Yeah, today, there's no better time.
There's no better time. All I have to do is throw some acrylic gesso on a couple of panels, and I'll have officially started then.
There you
go. I'm inspired. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. I'm doing it.
Woo! So what are your motivations for creating?
That if I don't, I'll just die. Like, that's so dramatic, but, like, I don't feel like myself if I'm not making stuff. Like, I will, if, you know, like, life happens and stuff happens and you are away for a month or you have to go take care of your family or whatever happens. But during that time that you're distracted, you're not thinking about it as much. But as soon as you have a quiet moment, you realize, like, I need to make something to be myself. Like, I notice that I start not being me if I'm not creating stuff.
Yeah, totally. Well, what has been your biggest challenges and how have you overcome them?
Biggest challenges. I think that, like, unfortunately, being a woman in any career is a little challenging. And
sure.
There's nothing I can really do about that except just keep making stuff. I think that there's a lot of, sorry, my dog. there's a lot of things that I could not complain about, but say that are challenging. But whenever I look back now, you having just asked me, I don't feel like anything was enough that it would take away from where I am right now, if that makes sense. Like, I like where I am in my journey. So the challenges that I face are just part of that. Like, you know, dealing with galleries, that can be really challenging. That's not a really fair situation usually. So that's always a challenge.
Can you talk more about that?
I mean, sure. I've been showing with galleries for, I don't know, I'd say 9 or 10 years. And I'll also say that most of the experiences there's been something amiss. Like, for example, a gallery typically takes 50% of the commission. So the artist is responsible for shipping the piece to the gallery. The gallery hangs it on its wall. They're using the artist's fan base to sell the painting that usually the client never even walks in to see. Then if it doesn't sell, the gallery is then supposed to ship the painting back to you. There have been many instances where I'm currently trying to get a painting back from 2018. Like, it's just very frustrating. Or galleries sometimes will sell your work, not tell you, and then they just don't pay you. My friend is dealing with that right now.
What? Like, what? You need representation.
I don't know. Like, yes and no. I think that a lot of, like, I mean, I'm not, if an art manager wants to hit me up and actually work for their money, then sure. But I'd rather just handle it myself and not split a commission. Like,
right.
It's my money.
That's so true. I didn't think of that cut. I was just thinking of, like, my dad is a lawyer and I would sick him on him.
Yeah, I would love. There have been instances where I should have had a lawyer, but they know that you can't afford a lawyer. So they just, you know, they screw you over and it sucks. And so I didn't show at galleries for a long time. But I think that their business model is pretty archaic, considering that they're using the artist's fan base
Absolutely.
To sell their paintings and then take 50% commission, which I do have good relationships with some galleries. And I'm not saying every gallery is like that. I am saying the business model is out of date and everybody agrees. And it just, something needs to change, but I don't know what it'll be.
Well, what do you think will take for it to change?
I don't know. I know that a lot of these galleries that I'm speaking about have shut down. So, you know, it's not a sustainable business model to treat artists that way, because a lot of galleries will treat you like you're an employee, when it's like, if you didn't have art, you wouldn't be a gallery. So maybe you should be nicer to your artists.
Collaboration and, you know, should be.
I think it used to be more of that whenever galleries would advertise more and whenever they had this email list and they keep the client separate. So like, you never get to know who you're selling to usually if you sell through a gallery, because otherwise you're going to make that connection and they're going to just give you money directly and then the gallery's obsolete.
Right.
So they're very like, you know, they're very secretive of their email list and that kind of thing. But now if they're just if my clients are buying my work from this gallery and I have to take a 50% cut, it just, I don't know. If that happens 100% of the time, then that sucks.
Well, do you sell on your website?
Definitely. Yeah, I sell through my own personal studio. Sometimes I'll post work for sale up there, but usually I like to, if someone wants to buy something, I like to actually speak to them so I can give them specifics and, you know, like actually talk to the person. I had that thing on the website where it's like, you can just buy it now and then we don't ever talk and I just ship it to you.
Right.
I really do like having an actual relationship with clients. So there are always things for sale and available. And like I said, I do offer commissions. So there's always a way, if you like an artist, there's a way that they will sell you their work for sure.
Awesome. So what's the best piece of advice you've been given?
My little brother told me one time, I was dealing with a situation where I was trying to contact a friend who was being very shady. And my brother said, look, just don't poke it. And like, I think about that so much for so many things in my life. Like, just don't poke it. You know, like,
right.
Basically choose your battles. And it's just like the most like astute, nothing kind of advice. But I have applied that in so many instances dealing with humans. Just like, not worth it. Don't poke it. Like,
right.
Just seriously choose your battles on what you're going to do and what you're not going to do.
That's good advice. Was that your older brother?
No, my younger brother. He's 9 years younger than me. My little baby.
So what are your words of wisdom for someone starting out in your field?
Oh, the amount of obsession that you have just because you can't make that thing look like what you want it to look like right now, your obsession with it will pay off eventually. You just have to, I know this sounds so stupid and I hated hearing this, but like, you have to trust the process of it. Like, there is a point in every one of my pieces. There's like the beginning stage, which is like fun. You're just like boop, 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 like throwing things in. Then there's that middle stage where you have to start solidifying things. And then there's the last stage with the details. The middle stage,
I hate that last stage.
I hate the middle stage because I'm just like solidifying stuff. It's like between loose and defining, but you have to trust that you're going to eventually get to that detail, which everybody wants to put a highlight. Everybody wants to put an eyelash. Like, you're going to spend, you're going to need to spend more time on that middle cultivating stage than on the details. And that is something I think that could be a metaphor for the whole thing. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Trust your process. Trust all the work that you're putting into this isn't for no reason. Like, typically, I'm going to say 99% of the time, you're not going to get worse at something you're doing every day. And okay, sure, practice makes perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect. So if you're actually putting in the time to learn these things and you're actually trying to apply it, you're not going to get worse.
Right. Right. Form. Mm-hmm. Form is important. Yes. So what is the role of an artist in society?
I think it's such an important role. Like, art is literally everything we do. Like, it's music, it's film, it's books, it's fine art, it's makeup, it's clothes. It's every part of our daily life is affected because of an artist. And I think that a lot of artists, like, okay, so you take like a derelict city, artists usually go there first because that's what we can afford. So right. We make it cool. And then it brings in all the gentrification. And then mm-hmm. we have to go somewhere else. So it's always the artist doing something first, and then everybody's following the artist after they've made it cool, which is just kind of like with everything. No, like, there's so many artists that weren't popular until after they've passed away, but they paved the way for all these other people. So I think that it is the biggest role in our society, I think.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing your creative process with our listeners, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
Yes, it has been. You have been listening to Kate Zambrano, a visual artist, and I'm Heather Rose with Radio Free Roanoke, 95.7 FM.
This is Kate Zambrano, a fine artist from California. I can be found at www.katezambrano.com and on Instagram at Kate Zambrano. And you are listening to WROELP Roanoke.